We're really pleased that Mike McAllister from Hope Church Board is joining us tomorrow and Sunday. He's going to be sharing this with me, and we're just going to be teaching through parts of Isaiah 61 and see what God says to us. So we're really excited about it, and we're going to start with these words, verses 1 and 2 tonight. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. When these verses were prophesied by Isaiah, they brought hope to a remnant people who were in distress. In a time of judgment, in a time of exile, there was a people who heard these words, a small group of people. Here we are tonight, a couple of hundred of us on this site. God is speaking words of hope to us tonight. He's wanting to speak to us for our encouragement tonight. In a changing world, hope still finds its voice to a group of people who aren't just looking around, but looking to God. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom who said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look in yourself, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest. And tonight and this weekend, we're going to look at God. We're going to look to Jesus. And it says these words, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and the Lord has anointed me. If you have the word Lord in your Bible, it might be capitalized because it means the Lord of hosts. It's the Lord of heaven's armies. The Spirit is the Spirit with all of heaven's resources. It's already been, you know, when somebody steals all your stuff for the prophecies before the word starts, you know, oh, that was my point. Everyone's already said it all tonight. Nothing is impossible for God. He's the Lord of hosts. Nothing is too difficult for him this weekend. He's the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. And he says, the Lord has anointed me. Anointing was what happened in Old Testament times to kind of show God's choice of somebody. Oil was poured on or smeared on or rubbed on a person to say that God had chosen them to be a prophet, a priest, or a king. And this person is somebody who has been chosen for purpose. And he's the Messiah. These verses, as you'll well know, probably point to Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus himself quotes these verses about himself. We might have guessed they were about him just because of the things it says about him. But Jesus himself says this is, he quoted these verses. He says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. But more than that, more than just simply pointing to Jesus, these verses, I believe, point to the church of Jesus. The mission of Jesus isn't only Jesus' mission. It's the mission he gave to his church. It's the Great Commission in different language. So the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and the book of Acts are both written by Luke. Not this Luke, that Luke. And it's fascinating, I think, that at the start of Jesus' ministry, Luke records for us that he gets baptized. And what happens at his baptism? It says the Spirit comes down in bodily form on him as a dove. He gets anointed with the Spirit. The Spirit comes on him. The beginning of Acts, when Luke is telling us about the birth of the church, what does he say? Well, the first thing you notice about the church is the Spirit of God descends on the church, Acts chapter 2. Not in bodily form, but with these strange tongues of fire that are visible for people to see. The Spirit anoints the church. And then you find those believers anointed again and again and filled with the Spirit again and again throughout the book of Acts. But it also, it doesn't just point to Jesus, these verses. It doesn't just point to Jesus. It doesn't just point to the early church. It points to us here today at Whitworth Park, 2024. Isn't that exciting? I think so. So it points to you and me. Jesus still loves to fill us with his Spirit. And he's going to be doing that this weekend. How's he going to do that? Well, let's just read this verse. Ephesians chapter 5, it says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is how you get filled with the Spirit in community. You speak to one another and you sing at one another and you sing to God. And as that happens, the Spirit of God fills us in every moment. Singing and speaking and thanksgiving, he'll come to us. When Paige said earlier on, just remind us this was a no-alcohol site, it just reminded me of something. And as we read that verse, like years ago, we used to come to this site to do weekends away, and they're a little softer on the sort of rules back then, and I think they'd said to us, yeah, as long as you're discreet with alcohol and wine, it's fine to just, you know, just have some in your cabin or whatever. And so we'd put the word out to church, it's a Friday night, it's a cheese and wine night. And everybody just came in and just deposited their bottle of wine on a table in the corner. And this sort of young man came through to do the safety briefing, and he's just going through, and this is an alcohol-free site. And he just glances over at the table, and he just smiles, says, well, it looks like that ship has already sailed. And anyway, so a couple of years ago, we decided to start doing weekends away again, and we came down to do a pre-visit of Whitworth Park to remind ourselves about the site. And we were just chatting to the guy on reception. And he said, oh, it's so great to have a church group using the site. He said, we don't get many church groups, he said, but let me tell you about this one group. he said, it was my first day on the job and I had to do the safety briefing. And he said, and I went in and they'd literally loaded the table with alcohol. And we said, sorry, that was us. Yeah, King's Church, Edinburgh, come and visit. Here's what Paul is saying in this. He says, you know, we don't actually need alcohol this weekend. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Wouldn't it be great if our renown as a church would be this? These are the people who are just filled with the Holy Spirit at every opportunity. What will he do when he fills us with his Spirit and when the Anointed One comes to us? Well, there's five things that gets mentioned in these verses. Let's briefly look at them before we finish tonight, because we've got a bonfire, haven't we? Because we just need to warm up. It's so cold in here. He will proclaim good news to the poor. Do you know, in the Bible, being poor isn't just a financial position, it's a heart disposition. And tonight there's an invitation to you and me, if we feel we need God, to receive good news from him. It means to be humble. It means to be dependent. In Psalm 34, David said, this poor man called, and the Lord answered him and delivered him from all his troubles. There's good news available for those tonight who have a humble disposition. Secondly, he's come to bind up the broken hearts. He's come to bandage us, is what that means, like the Good Samaritan did to that person on the roadside. I was just thinking about it. It's fascinating, isn't it? We love miracles. God is a God of miracles. We love it when he comes and does something miraculous. I loved it when he came to Lazarus's tomb and he raised him from death, and he says, take the bandages off and let him go. He does that sometimes, but that same Jesus, here he says, you know what, we're going to put the bandages back on because this person needs some tender, loving care. This person needs healing. And over time, and even over the course of this weekend, God's going to be bandaging some of our wounds and some of our cares and some of our sorrows. And he's going to do that with such gentleness as he allows us to heal, as he patiently cares by his Spirit. Thirdly, he's going to bring freedom to the captives. In 2 Corinthians 3, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Tonight, just as we're in his presence, and we're in the presence of God's people, he's going to start liberating us from things that hold us back. He's going to help us with things that stop us moving on with him. Now, on Easter Day, I don't know if anybody at church on Easter Day this year. Great, some of us, good. It's a good time here to come to church, isn't it? We had a visiting speaker, the name of Kenneth, and he mentioned a famous escapologist by the name of Harry Houdini, who he performed in America. He was renowned for escaping everything. Kenneth made the point, he said, he escaped everything except death, because only Jesus escaped death. What a great point. There was actually one incident in the famous escapologist Harry Houdini's life where he nearly didn't escape. Do you want to hear about it? Yeah, I thought you would, yeah. So, there was a time, they'd wrapped him in a straitjacket, and they'd put him in a box, and they'd put him in a prison cell, and they'd locked everything up, and within seconds, he had managed to get out of his straitjacket, and within another few seconds, he'd managed to get out of the box. And then he started work unpicking the prison door lock. And he went at it for 30 seconds and a minute and 2 minutes, and he just kept going, and you could tell he was getting a bit annoyed because this wasn't his plan. He went on for 20 minutes, 25, he got to 30 minutes, and then he just thumped the door in frustration, and the door opened. The door was never locked. He spent his time trying to unpick a lock that was already opened. Here's the wonderful thing about the anointed Jesus. He's already done everything necessary. He's already opened the doors. The cross of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus has set us free from every sin and every bondage and everything that can hold us back. The Spirit of God will apply that to our lives if we let him. He's giving us permission to walk free. It's such a wonderful thing when you see people. I see it again and again, people walking free because the Spirit freed them, and then they took a step and they pushed the door and they walked through. Fourthly, he brings release from darkness for prisoners. The darkness, it refers to a blindness, a spiritual blindness, an inability to see. This weekend, God is going to help those of us who aren't seeing things properly to see things as he sees them. For some of us, we might not be Christians here tonight. He's going to help us see Jesus in the way that we've never seen him before. And for all of us here, he's going to help us see Jesus as of far greater worth than we've ever known him. For some of us, he's going to enable us to see the call he has on our lives and what he's calling us to do, because he's going to open our eyes by his Spirit. Fifthly, he's come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This refers to the Jubilee year of Israel. Every 50th year, God announced that slaves would be set free and that property would be returned to its owners and debts should be canceled. It's like the reset button. This Jesus wants to come by his Spirit and just reset us to what he has called us to be. It speaks of total restoration. God is here to restore and reset us. It speaks of grace, something that's freely given. Those same people who'd ended up in slavery and having sold their land and in debt, they'd kind of got into that position through their own efforts. This Savior comes and he frees us by his efforts, not by ours. That means that this weekend should be full of unexpected surprises as God will bless his people. So let's talk just briefly about you and me and this weekend and why this is a good place for us to be. Because Jesus invites us to drink of his Spirit. He's not just the anointed one, but he anoints his people and he fills us with his Spirit. In fact, Isaiah 55, there's an invitation before we read this chapter that we've read tonight to come, all who are thirsty. Are you thirsty tonight? Come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. There's an invitation. Jesus put it in these words in John chapter 7. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. When Jesus said those words, they were in the middle of Israel's annual camping trip. It was a bit like Whitoff Park. The Feast of Tabernacles was when they took their family and they made a temporary shelter outside of Jerusalem, and they'd go to the temple each day to worship, but they would camp outdoors. And it was a reminder of two things. It was a reminder, firstly, of the wilderness years when Israel would camp in the wilderness and they trusted God for every provision, the manna, the quail, the water from the rock. And they were reminded that God always met their needs. So they lived simply for a week in order to remember that God could be trusted. You know, when we go on holidays, we often like to splash out a bit, don't we? We like to go somewhere nice or different or somewhere that's sunny. That wasn't the idea with the Feast of Tabernacles. We've been blessed with amazing weather here so far, haven't we? But you know, you're not going to find the most comfortable bed at Whitoff Park. You know, you could eat in fine restaurants. Fine food isn't the objective, but it will be wonderful food. It's simple because we're actually coming together to remind ourselves that we're God's community and that he cares for us. And in that festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, the high priest, once at the end of the festival, he would take water from the pool of Siloam at the bottom of the temple steps. He'd take it up to the top of the steps to the altar, and he'd pour it down the steps, down the altar, and it would flow down to the people, representing the river of God that would flow to the nations of the world. And it was a picture of Ezekiel 47, the river of God. See, when God works in us, when we thirst for him, Jesus says that he will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life, a river that will go to the nations of the world. In this simple moment this weekend, as we stay in our temporary huts for a couple of nights, eating nice food, being with God's people, been a journey to get here, but we're here to be fed by God. And Jesus, in this moment, wants to recenter everything on himself and the gift of his Spirit. And he says four things. He said, if anyone's thirsty. So here's four things for us to think about this weekend as we look into these couple of days ahead. Be thirsty for God. If anyone is thirsty, there's a promise for you in this verse. Secondly, he says, anyone. There's an invitation to not compare yourself to other people and what's happening for other people. Even on the day of Pentecost, even though they all received the gift of tongues in that moment, the fascinating thing is they all spoke different languages. There was different people understanding the blessing that God was giving to each one of them. When the Spirit comes on us, it looks different for each of us. Therefore, we don't compare ourselves to one another. We thirst for him and we allow him to fill us. Thirdly, it says, whoever believes in me. Somebody said it tonight. We say yes to God. When we say yes to God, great things happen. The Bible is full of people who say yes to God. Don't say, that's not me. Fourthly, this verse teaches us to know that God loves to be generous with us. Jesus didn't just offer people a droplet or a drip. He said, there's a river available for you personally if you believe in Jesus. So tonight, I'd just love us to just spend this remaining few minutes just to invite God into our weekend together. We're not going to have a long ministry time. We're just going to invite him. We're going to open up the weekend and say, Lord, this belongs to you. Dara, I don't know if we could just sing a song maybe as well. That would be wonderful. And let's just open up our hearts and our minds. Let's stand together, shall we? You might just want to you might just want to reach out your hands or do something that kind of just expresses to God that you want more of him this weekend. It's his year of Jubilee coming to you. So Lord, we just want to welcome you. Thank you so much that you love us so much, Lord. Thank you. We already sense your generosity towards us and your love for us. Thank you. We don't have to do anything other than be thirsty. So Lord, please, would you identify every thirsty heart who just needs something from you? Come and walk with us. Come and talk with us, Lord. Come and eat with us. Come and drink with us. Lord, we want to be filled with you. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, who was on Jesus, come on your church. Come on your people. Come on Whitworth Park 2024. We welcome you.